I'm Andy Kahn, and welcome to the Jam Bass Podcast. Coming up on this episode is an interview with Fruition guitarist Jacob Anderson. Jam Bass is proudly partnered with Osiris Media. Listen to all the Osiris Media podcasts at jambass.com/podcasts. Jam Bass and Osiris Media support the nonprofit organization Backline in its mission to connect music industry professionals and their trusted network of mental health and wellness providers. The global health crisis we're facing right now has threatened the livelihood and mental health of countless musicians. Backline is the music industry's mental health and wellness resource hub, and their work is more vital than ever. Launched in 2019, Backline aims to give artists, crew, and their families quick and easy access to mental health and wellness resources. Backline is currently hosting virtual support groups, as well as yoga, meditation, and breathwork sessions. Jam Bass and Osiris are proud to partner with Backline. To donate, learn more, or get in touch with personalized care, visit backline.care. I hope everyone out there listening is staying safe and healthy. And if any of you tuning in are healthcare workers, I want to personally thank you all for all you're doing right now in response to the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. You all are truly heroes. Needless to say, the last few weeks have been difficult. Legendary musician Bill Withers, who wrote all-time classics Lean on Me, Ain't No Sunshine, and many others, died at the age of 81 due to heart complications. Legendary patriarch of New Orleans jazz music, Ellis Marsalis, father to Wynton and Branford, died at 85 after experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne and film and television production died at the age of 52 after being diagnosed with COVID-19. And beloved singer-songwriter John Prine also died after being hospitalized with COVID-19. Prine was 73 years old. The outpouring of love and admiration for Prine from fellow musicians and beyond has been consistent since news of his hospitalization broke. Undoubtedly, one of the greatest singer-songwriters of his generation, Prine's 1971 self-titled debut album contains such outstanding original compositions as Sam Stone, Hello In There, Illegal Smile, Angel from Montgomery, and Paradise. Prine survived two bouts of cancer, founded the successful record label Oh Boy Records, and continued to release albums and tour the world, culminating at a recent final performance in Paris. On a personal level, I absolutely loved John Prine. Despite never meeting him, and only having seen him perform once, thank you, Justin Vernon, for that magical evening in the rain at Eau Claire's a few years back, Prine's music became interwoven into the fabric of my family. His songs fucked me up in the best way. Through them, he served as a sort of Midwestern mentor. He was someone that looked like a family member and always sounded like a friend. Started dating my wife when we were in high school. Sometime early in our relationship, I met her grandparents. I met her grandma Shirley, and she loved music and was interested in my shared passion. She asked me what music I liked to listen to, and I replied Fish and the Grateful Dead, while adding that I listened to all kinds of music. She asked, in her rich southern accent, if I liked John Prine. And I told her Angel from Montgomery was among my all-time favorite songs by any artist. She told me Paradise was hers. Many years later, when Grandma Shirley was battling dementia, and her health was slowly deteriorating, she asked for a copy of Paradise to listen to. We got her headphones, and I uploaded a recording of Paradise to her tablet. She would listen to that song, listen to John Prine's voice. Somehow it took her home. She wasn't from Kentucky. She grew up in rural Arkansas. But she could relate to the story John told, and it brought her peace at a time in her life when she needed it most. I will forever be thankful to John Prine for giving us that slice of paradise. And I'll be damn sure my little girls know how important his words are. And I'll be damn sure that we continue to sing them together. All of Team Jam Bass sends their condolences to John's wife, Fiona, and their children. Rest easy, Mill.
When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting. Just 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lays. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
On our last episode, we told you about the Jam Bass live streams calendar. Head over to jambass.com/calendar to watch and listen to live streams happening around the world. The Jam Bass live streams calendar is regularly updated, and allows you to toggle between live streams without opening a new tab or window. You can also watch archived replays of past live streams when they become available. We're also continuing to roll out videos that are part of Jambase's Gimme Shelter in Place archival video series. As a way to celebrate live music while still social distancing, Jambase has been digging into our video vault to publish live performances by the likes of Yonder Mountain String Band, Keller Williams, Jennifer Hartswick and Nick Casarino, Anders Osborne and Luther Dickinson, and many more. Stay tuned each weekday as the series rolls on. And stay tuned for an Art of the Setlist interview with Fruition's Jay Cobb Anderson. Jay spoke with Jambase's Scott Bernstein a few weeks ago before the band's concert at Brooklyn Bowl and before the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll get to Scotty B's chat with Jay in just a moment. But now, here's a word from our sponsor, Harry's. Harry's is a super convenient way to get high-quality razors delivered directly to you, which right now is essential. I'm a big fan of being able to have Harry's durable blades shipped to me while still staying well within my budget. They're just $2 per blade. I usually wear a beard, but I've been keeping it shorter lately in order to avoid touching my face. And one of the best things about Harry's is I can choose when to have new razors delivered, with or without a subscription. Harry's blades are made in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. They're backed by a 100% quality guarantee, so if you aren't happy with your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. And 1% of proceeds are set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to helping provide access to better healthcare for men and veterans. Listeners of the Jambase podcast can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/jambase. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/jambase to start shaving better today.
I'm in a sprinter right now with Jay Cobb Anderson of Fruition. How's it going, Jay?
Heyo, how you doing, bud?
I am doing excellent. Good. And we are talking the art of the set list. And I just had an incredibly interesting experience. We're outside of Brooklyn Bowl, and tonight Fruition is headlining the venue. And Fruition was coming up with their set list for tonight's show. Jay, can you just tell us about how generally the band comes up with what you play each night?
Yeah, so basically it's a new set list every night. We try and change it up. There's a lot of things that kind of go into it, just based off of trying out things like transitions and things like that, and then you kind of get an idea of how songs group together and how they can flow energy wise you know. We do a lot of thinking about the flow of tempos and energy, and also try and be specific to like the places we're at too. You know, in New York City, we're playing more of a rock and newer type of set rather than, you know, if we were maybe playing in the South somewhere like North Carolina or something, or at some kind of bluegrass festival, we'd maybe sneak in more acoustic-y Americana type vibes. So it definitely has it's a combination of stuff to do with where we're at, the kind of vibe that we're thinking about, and then also transitioning songs easily and interestingly.
And one of the most fascinating things I saw during this meeting where you guys determined tonight's set list was you actually came up with the transition
right
on the spot. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing that happens just naturally, you know, you hope anyway. For us, we don't really jam all that much. We do jam some, but like we don't jam all that much. So transitions are kind of like a moment to be a little bit free and to extend things, but also to like just keep that momentum moving. So I actually can't even remember off the top of my head the transition
that you were that we came up with. No,
yeah.
I know you added a bar to it.
Oh yeah, Okay. So that one specifically was a song. Part of it too, we think about keys. And how a key can be relative to another key.
Okay.
Or playing in the same key but making it minor and changing the tempo kind of thing. We usually have a rule that we don't usually play 3 songs in a row of the same key. Not that that necessarily would matter to an audience, but it could matter to us.
Sure.
Sometimes it happens, but usually we try and just shy away from that just so we know what we're doing and we're keeping it interesting for ourselves. But the transition we came up with tonight was just kind of, we have a song off, 2 songs actually off of the latest release from Broken at the Break of Day. One of the songs is called For You that I co-wrote with Brad Parsons. And at that very end of the song, we do this big A major, major 7 chord.
Okay.
And it's just, and it's kind of by itself. It's like, so the song's like, circles, black, blue, empty skies. And there's this minor chord and it hangs. And then we go, flee. We kind of end the song like that. But instead, we're going to hang on that minor chord and then go into Nothing More Than Spinning, which is another song that's off of the new record, and just kind of add a bar of G. And then it's in the same key. So it's like, that's the kind of thing that
transition.
Right.
And it's interesting, you guys have had quite a few months. Towards the end of the year, you released Wild as the Night, and then you had another album come out in January, Broken at the Break of Day.
That's right.
How have all those new songs fit into the set list?
They've been awesome. It's really fun to play them. We're having a great time playing them. And it seems like the audience is responding really well to them, too. I think the more that we go on and the more that we play and the more we feel comfortable in our skin and like kind of know what fruition can be and what it kind of is. It's like more and more revealing itself of like what we actually are, which is, I don't know what
its
it is, but
thing.
It is its own thing.
Own singular thing.
That's true.
All right. And so these new songs fit in. You played a big show, one of the biggest shows of your career, at the Mission Ballroom.
Yes.
Was the set list process for that night different than a typical night?
Oh, yeah. Definitely different.
It was also the night the second album was released.
Right. And there's also, like, you know, factors like playing after the California Honey Drops, which is, you know, not an easy slot to have those guys throw a party and they get people involved. And we tend to be less of involving the crowd, especially compared to them. I actually don't know many bands that involve the crowd as much as those guys do. So it's great to have them rile up the people for you, but then you got to really deliver.
Yeah.
So we definitely thought about the flow of that set list a great deal more than we usually do set lists, you know.
And how long does a typical set list, I just attended this meeting, how long is a typical set list?
Oh man,
meeting?
Sometimes it can take forever.
Okay.
There are nights where like none of us are like on or we're like all feeling different about the flow of things or just where our energy level's at or our idea of, sometimes we can clash like that. but we always come. It usually is always done within an hour.
Okay.
What's but that? There were some times where it's done, like that one was probably 30 minutes at most, I think. And sometimes they just like flow. Ooh, right. Another part of the set list that I didn't mention that is important to us is we look at what we did the last time we were in the city. So like things like archive come in handy for that.
Excellent.
I'll just like, that's what I did right off the bat before we started putting songs down tonight. I was like, looked up the archive of the last time we were here and we played the Brooklyn Bowl and just looked at the flow of stuff and all the songs we played. And then you keep that in mind and just kind of try and do something different, you know?
Absolutely. And just on that note, want to give some love to TLP, Terry LaPointe.
Absolutely.
You guys. Front of house engineer. He gets those recordings up so quickly on the archive, and it's so nice to be able to hear all these shows. And obviously it has the side benefit of acting as a database of sorts,
right,
for you guys.
It does, yes, because Jeff Leonard, our bassist, as you saw up there, he writes all of our set lists out by hand,
and they're so cool, these handwritten set lists.
And a lot of the time they're gone by the end of the night because people want to collect them.
Yes.
So we just give them out to fans in the front that are screaming for them, and then you just that's it. So you'll forget a lot of the time, unless, you know. So archives come in really handy for that too.
And one thing that I did notice attending your meeting was how kind of egalitarian it was. I mean, everyone voice their opinion.
Right.
This was not some bands, it's one person
right.
comes up with the set list. Was it always that way with you guys?
No, and it's not that always that way now.
Okay.
Too. That tonight was just a special case. We were all there.
Right.
Like there are some nights where usually the core of the set list writers it's usually me and like Kellen or Tyler. And Jeff usually writes the thing down. Mimi can be here and there just because she's really good at making plans in different places. I wouldn't necessarily say that, but she's got friends everywhere, and she is good at like having the aforethought to be like, yo, I'm going to be in your city in like 3 days. I never do that. I'm so bad at that.
Right.
I'll forget that I even have a friend in a city, and on my way out, they're like, they'll hit me up and be like, yo, we grew up together. You know? I was like, oh shit, I completely forgot that you lived here. But she's really good at that. So sometimes, and you know, there have definitely been times where I haven't been there too, but it's pretty rare. I usually like to be pretty involved in it.
And part of that is also changing guitars.
Controlling.
Too, right?
Oh, man. That was another thing we didn't even get into about set listing. So there's so many different factors. One of the big ones is since I change guitars a lot now, but like someone like Mimi, you know, she's playing like three or four different instruments.
Right.
And so, and a lot of them need to be tuned, like a 12 string in a mandolin. Need to be tuned, and the guitars need to be tuned, obviously too. But yeah, so there's like a big factor for us in writing set lists is transition time in between instruments too.
To give yourself time to change guitars or maybe to change instruments.
Exactly. So we definitely think about that kind of stuff also. And now for me, it's becoming more of a thing because I have four guitars and I play all of them.
Right.
So like, yeah, it's another thing that I think about now too, is just getting that transition. So we don't want to have too much dead air because we tend to do that anyway. Just because we just want to play the music.
Yeah. And there she was, right in front of me. And there she was, right in front of me. And there she was.
Try and keep the language, just like the banter, to a minimum. Because
let the music
me personally,
do the talk.
Anyway, yeah, I can end up sounding like an idiot really fast. So I try and remember that, and try and just say things when I feel comfortable, and not say too much.
And another thing I found interesting was that we had discussed actually off mic is the length of the set. How do you determine how many songs go on one of these predetermined set lists?
Right. We always look at it as 5 minutes per song. And like I was saying before we got on the mics, it usually balances itself out. You know, if we do a song that we jam on, like our songs, even when we jam on them, are like 8 minutes max. You know, we're not one of those crazy bands that can do a 15-minute, 20-minute song. We could, but we just don't have the desire to.
Yeah.
We'd rather fit in another song. So it's one of those things that it just balances itself out. If you have, you know, one song that's 8 minutes and then you have like 2 3-minute songs, you know, and then a 4-minute song and it just kind of all in the end, we've never gone wrong really with keeping it to that method of
that's
just thinking a song 5 minutes.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. it works out, believe it or not.
And a few years ago at this point, you guys did a run opening for Jack Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Those were pretty short sets.
They were.
What were you thinking in terms of set lists for an audience like that?
We're just trying to show a little bit of everything that we can do, which we can do a lot of different things. So having 3 different songwriters in the band and like having 0 rules or compliances to genres.
Sure.
Like we definitely will just kind of we definitely wanted to showcase our strengths and maybe have a new song here and there. But mostly with like when you're in front of that many people and you have an opportunity to play your music for all these for thousands of people all at one time that have never heard of you before as an opener too, which yes. is difficult
yeah.
in its own right. There were a couple of nights on that tour. There was one night in particular, there was just like this big Hawaiian dude who was just standing in front of me and he's just looking up at my howly ass. Like he's like, dude, get off the stage. Jack Johnson's going to come up here. Like, you know, so it can be tough. Like it's definitely like an unwelcomed kind of, my buddy John Craigie has like a song. Well, he's got some like banter where he talks about being the opening band and how it's funny because it's the only art form where there's like an opening. And then he goes into like talking about like authors. Like, can you imagine picking up Grapes of Wrath? And then there's some, before you read Grapes of Wrath by Steinbeck, here's some writer and you have to read his short story or her short story.
That's a great point.
It's a hilarious, some hilarious banter from John Craig.
You know, I've opened a lot for a lot of different people, but when you're opening at that scale, it's intense because a lot of the people, your name's not even on the tickets sometimes. They don't know you're there. But Jack was very kind to me, and he would introduce me each night, which helped a lot. It's not always like that. Sometimes the announcer can really mess with your head. You know, they can get out there and be like, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for spending all of that money to see this great big headliner. But before that happens, we got a special surprise for you. Someone you've never heard of and we're not expecting is going to stand in between you and what you want for the next 40 minutes or so. Ladies and gentlemen, John Craigie.
And with these beautiful handwritten set lists, do you ever call audibles where you change?
Definitely. There's always room to change stuff. We never stick anything in stone. It's just, you know, that's the general idea. And usually we end up liking them, so we don't really change them. The only thing that can really change that changes more than anything on the set is the encore songs.
Right.
And then, so
by that point, you've had a chance to feel out everything.
Right. And the encore songs can totally change. Yeah. So that's where the audibles really come in.
And would I be correct to say that you're playing less covers these days than you have in the
past? Man, on this 2.5-week tour, I think we've only played 1 cover.
And
so yeah, we haven't been playing covers at all, because I mean not for any like specific reason other than the fact that we have so much material now, and we want to really play our stuff. So it's like this is our opportunity to, and it's crazy how time goes on. The more stuff we get, obviously, it's just like the more material you put out, the more material you have to like cut.
Right.
From the set.
That's a good point.
So it's like So you got to really pick and choose what you want to do. And once again, all those thoughts come in, like vibe and flow and instrumentation and specific to air, like cities and things like that, that all that stuff plays in after that. Yeah.
And with your such an egalitarian way of doing it, are there hurt feelings that ever come from cutting somebody's song from the...
There has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been on the end of that before, and I think we all kind of have. But it's usually, we always look at it as the greater good, you know? It's like... And most of the time, we're not as, like, fully, like, so deeply emotionally invested in, like, you know, it's like if one of my songs that I really wanted tonight gets like got cut or like nobody wanted to do it, there's always tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
absolutely
find a way.
Exactly. And just one last question for you. What is 2020 going to hold moving forward for Fruition?
You know, we want to be releasing more music more regularly, more video content more regularly. It's just finding time to do it. And that's really difficult in this day and age just because of like how much money you don't make being a musician. It's really hard. And to make money, if people aren't buying your merch at like shows or something like that, like you're not really making that much money. Like, you know, the road pays for itself. And we do all right. And we have a career like going, but like, when it comes down to it, it's tough to find the time to record more stuff when we have to be so busy on the road, you know? And then when you get off the road, last thing you want to do is be around all your bandmates.
Exactly.
So there's a balance that needs to be achieved. And we're looking to find that balance. And we've been doing pretty good within this last year. And, but it has been stressful at times. Like, both of the releases that we put out, Wild as the Night and Broken at the Break of Day, were two sessions that were, one was recorded before we started tour, and then Broken at the Break of Day, like that whole recording session was in the middle of this tour. So we do like a week away and we came back and recorded like 4 or 5 days, and then we took off for like 2 days, 3 days, and then came back and recorded for 2 more days. And then we did like another week or week and a half. And then we came back and did like 1 more day just to like really bust out the stuff we needed to.
Right.
But it's like that kind of thing is tough, man. It's so stressful. And like, I feel really fortunate that the releases both came out as great as they did. But yeah, just like in 2020, my goal, my vision, my thought is to get to a point where all this stuff can happen and just be easier on us.
Yes. And have some you time.
Yeah, have some, yeah. Yeah, that would be amazing. And yeah, so that's really the goal. And keep putting stuff out, you know. That's what we really want to do, is we have so much music. And having 3 songwriters in the band, there's never a shortage of songs. And so, like, us, we just want to put stuff out.
Well, that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and
thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for
Jay.
Having me, bud.
And I am so excited for tonight's show.
Absolutely. I'm pumped too.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Cool. Now it's over.
Thanks to all of you out there for listening to this episode of the Jam Bass Podcast. Thanks to Jay for taking the time to chat with Scott. Check out the nonprofit Backline at backline.care to learn more. And be sure to head over to harrys.com/jambass to redeem your free trial. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Jam Bass Podcast, and if you like what you hear, give us 5 stars, leave a review, tell your friends. Thanks also to Telefunken for the microphones, and to Jake Alexander for production assistance. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, take care of each other, stay home, and live stream live music.